something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
Insecure Instagram Guy.
We play Seat Buddies.
Plus, what am I doing in Los Angeles? It's all coming up right now on TNT. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I'm in 23A. Sorry to get you up.
Oh, wow. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Nope. Sorry about that.
Long flight.
Excuse me.
Already set up there. I was all set there.
Yeah, I guess I should have boarded first. You know, that way you wouldn't have had to get up. You going home or are you going out to Charlotte on work or?
I'm going to Charlotte for work, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Some textile conference.
Oh, tell me about it. Just in and out or there for a while?
Just there for the 3 days. You know.
Yeah.
Then I'm off to
lucky
Raleigh.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
A little Charlotte Raleigh swing. Yep, been there.
Yeah, yeah. Then I'm driving actually back to Savannah, where I'm originally from.
Oh, you're from there? Yeah. Huh. That's a city in Georgia.
It's a great spot. It's real. People say it's spooky, but I like it. You know.
Yeah. You know, I like this time sitting on planes. I find you don't get much time to just kind of sit and relax and just kind of be by yourself. These days, you know?
Yeah, no, I know.
So, Charlotte. Where are you staying in Charlotte?
Holiday Inn Express.
Yes. Yeah.
Just off, on Peachtree Boulevard there.
Oh, I know it.
Beside Peachtree and Peach.
Yeah, Peachtree and Beach. Peach and Beach, we call it.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a straight shot.
I can't remember if that's the place with the... Is that the one that has the... what do you call it? The...
The two
continental
brass pineapples out pineapples out front?
Yeah, right. That's the one with the continental breakfast?
Well,
do you ever get the continental breakfast? I know. They don't all do it. I've stayed some places that don't do that.
Well, that means you... Probably underslept or overslept, you know.
Oh, I see. This guy just like knowing in 2 minutes you're taking shots of my sleeping patterns. I see how it's going to be.
I'm hey, listen, I know. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that at all.
Well, you don't have to be Mr. Apology I guess I know a lot about you, but you haven't asked me a single question yet, but that's fine.
Where are you from?
Oh, so now you're gonna just pour it on. Like, you're going to get all kind of up in my business now? Got it. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Where are you from?
Charlotte.
Okay.
From Charlotte.
Oh, so you're going home to Charlotte.
No, I didn't say that. I said I did live in Charlotte. That's where I'm from, but I don't put words in my mouth. I don't live there now.
But what brought you to Eugene, Oregon from... The first place.
What is this, 20 questions? Here. More like 200 questions. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was up late, you know, and it's just early morning flight, and I'm not a morning guy.
Okay. Don't worry. You can have a sleep or something.
Well, no, I'm kind of a nervous flyer, so I just...
Maybe I'll have a sleep.
No, I could really kind of... I could use someone to talk to just to kind of take my mind off the flight.
I didn't want... Like, I'm looking for just get to Charlotte. I wasn't looking for a job, if you know what I mean.
Like, no, Charlotte? Oh, yeah. Okay. So this feels like a job interview. Yeah, I got it.
Well, not a job interview. A job. You told me to stay and keep you up. Like,
right.
You know, I'm tired. I got, what do you think I have this huge thing around my neck here for? What do you think that's for?
I don't know, sandbag?
Hoping to get some shut-eye here on this flight.
A drool catcher, I pegged it as.
Well, good for you then. Now, you're lucky you, I guess, hey?
Hey,
not
do you know?
Drool on you.
I always thought it would be a good idea on planes that you had to go number one at the front of the plane and number two at the back of the plane, so that every time someone turned around to walk back to the plane, everybody knew what they were going to be doing.
Hey, why are you taking your shoes off? Do you have to take your shoes off?
I didn't hear them say, please leave your shoes on in the safety announcement.
Well, it's not a... But it's kind of an unwritten rule to take off your shoes. And your socks. Come on, socks.
I have bunions.
Why are you taking your socks? You have what?
They're water absorbent socks. I just need to wring them out.
Did you say you have bunions?
Actually, I think what I said is, why don't you mind your own business?
You don't have to tell me, but holy moly. Why do you have to have your bare feet sitting out in front?
Well,
great.
Jesus wore bare feet.
Yeah, Jesus did, not you. Jesus.
You okay? You know what? I feel like...
And I'm pretty sure Jesus cut his toenails once, maybe every 6 months.
I feel like we got off on the wrong foot. Oh. Speaking of bare feet,
Yellowstone National Park down there.
Do you want to just start again? Let's just start again. I'm going to just stand up for a second. I'm going to get out into the aisle again for 1 second. Stand up. Okay.
All right.
I think I'm in 24A there.
Jeez. Keep those dogs from barking at people on your way back to the bathroom there.
Jeremy Taggart, when you're on a plane, do you talk to the person next to you?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Are you the opening volley guy, or
for sure.
Do you receive?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I'm usually not a chatty person in public, so I definitely don't volley anything. If same thing in an Uber or a cab, it's like if. I'm not doing shit other than how's it going and being, you know, if they ask something, I'll answer, but I try not to volley too much because I don't know. But I do sometimes. Depends on the person, I guess.
On the vibe. If you're picking up a vibe, you'll talk to them.
Do you nervously feel like you have to converse?
Of course.
Like as soon as you sit down, like with somebody?
Of course. Even if I'm like,
so it's always like
stuff, I still fire something out.
What kind of conversation is it usually like if you sit down beside somebody?
Well, if it's a long flight, you might say something like, this will be a long flight. And if it's a short flight, you might say, this won't be too long. And then if it's a nice day, you say, nice day out there. And if it's not nice, you say, like, nice day out there, but sarcastically.
Well, I think I do that, too. Like, opening hellos and being civil with people, yeah. But, I mean, like what kind of things go... Like, that's one thing, but the next thing is there's a conversation. Because you've sat down and, like, do you see... Like, because once you throw out that line, where are you going or what are you doing? Like, it's opening a big can, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the intended outcome is that you're hoping for. Like, what's the person
supposed
to say
that? Do you say, like, what's your line?
Well, like, if I'm in the mood to have a conversation?
No, but if you're just trying to be nice even, what do you say after that first thing? Like, a joke that's... A
yeah.
One-ended thing, like it's just like,
yeah,
oh, didn't step on your foot, sorry.
Or that guy packed light, you might say, if
like,
someone
don't
has
worry,
a lot of bags.
Don't worry, I showered. Something
I
like
don't
that.
Think I'd lead with something like that. I like the small talk camp, though. I like listening to it with other people, like the people in the seat behind you. I like it.
I do too, yeah. It's always was different.
You want to do a couple hotel bar guys?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Man, the Sixers are looking good this season.
I don't much watch basketball.
No. I don't either, to be honest with you. I don't either. What do you like to watch?
I'm a numbers guy, stock market mostly, you know. Yeah, making you, money.
Yeah, see, to me, that's like, might as well be a different language, you know?
You know, I wish they had the Hooters channel in here. Okay, you know what I mean?
Well, answer me this. When you find a stock that you want to invest, how do you find a stock that you want to invest in?
It's like a piece of ass, you know? You really like it, you want to hang out with it, you want to get as close as possible to it and learn about it.
Oh, you know what? My friend just showed up. I'm going to go sit with him. Wait for him. I'm going to go wait for him because and my back is sore and these high backs are hurting my back. So I'm going to go sit at a lower table with lower chairs.
I got a big night planned for myself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What do you think of the bartender here, eh? She's hot.
Eh? She seems skilled at her job, yeah.
Yeah. What's her name? Candy?
Barf. I would peel out of that conversation fast.
It's Crunch Crunch Guy.
I'd be out of it.
You know who's acting like all-time Crunch Crunch Guy?
Who?
It's Rudy Giuliani right now.
Oh, man. He's the crunchiest.
Did you see that video of him on, like, how you doing, Moisha? Some girl? Thanks for the picture. You look real good. We'll see you again in the Ukraine, Moisha.
What with was that?
The two guys who got arrested.
Oh, I didn't see the video.
Greece. Yeah, it's floating around online. But he's full-on crunch mode.
I love that that's shorthand for that type of guy.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Okay, now let's try out a curiosity. Two people that are extremely open to forcing a connection. Right?
All right.
Like small talk people, but it actually works.
On a plane or on a bar or somewhere else?
Somewhere else.
Doesn't matter.
Park bench?
The counter at the white spot?
Yeah, sure, perfect.
All right.
Is this seat taken?
Go right ahead. Sit there if you like.
All right, I will. Thank you. Appreciate it.
What are you having?
Well, it's funny. I was just having this conversation with myself in the shower. I'm usually a scrambled eggs guy, but I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm thinking about sunny side up.
Myself, toasted eggs, almost black toast, toast eggs, couple hash browns, black coffee every single day. That's me.
Well, if you don't mind me saying, whatever you're doing seems to be working.
Oh, thanks a lot. I jog every day, too.
You do, huh? It's not hard on the knees?
I don't find it to be.
Interesting. That is so interesting.
Look at my knees. Maybe it's because I'm so tall.
Wow, those are... if you don't mind my saying, those are great knees.
Do you know who my dad was?
Oh, no.
Ed Allen.
Come on. Who's Ed Allen?
Remember Ed Allen?
No.
The workout show back in the 80s, 70s?
Oh, yeah, okay.
He'd be working out. Ed Allen. That's my late dad, Ed Allen.
Get out of Dodge. That must have been an interesting upbringing then with a workout guy in the 70s.
Yep. And, you know, he told me not to eat the black toast, but I just can't stop eating this black toast.
Isn't that interesting? Because most people like toast that isn't that way.
So. Oh, I like it black. Look at it. Look at how hard it is.
Can I try a little bite of it?
Sure. I tell them that I say leave it in there. They say it's black. I said no, it's not.
And that's what you say, and that's what they say.
I say as long as it's beeping, that means it's ready.
Oh, like the fire alarm goes off. Like, you like it that dark.
That's That's how I like it.
Isn't that interesting? Now, if you don't mind me asking, how did you figure out that you like toast like that?
Like I said, my dad did it, I do it, and my grandfather did it.
Oh, so you come from a long
line. It'll get us all in the end. It'll get us all in the end. The carbon's not good for you, but boy, I just can't stop eating it.
Isn't that something? Huh. So is this your regular breakfast spot?
Every day. Hey, do you, what are you getting? Are you going to get a hash browns with that?
Well, I don't know.
They get the good ones here.
You tell me. They got good sounds like you have it pretty figured out.
Do you like bacon strips? You get the two or three bacon strips?
Boy, if I could change my middle name to Bacon, I would.
Yeah. And sausage? Do you do the sausage or do you do the bacon strips?
Do you know
what? I just stick with the bacon strips.
It's really interesting. I do too.
If I were you. Pancakes? Do you like pancakes? They have good pancakes. This guy Salvador in the back, he's very good with pancakes.
I probably like pancakes more than I should.
Yeah. Could I interest you on a pancake for your face?
See, that's sure. Salvador. Hey, he's always. Hey, Salvador, can you? Can you dance for me like how you do it with the singing?
Oh, you like how I shake your booty when I'm working behind the counter?
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah, that's like to do it.
If it's okay with you, I would like to prepare a pancake for your mouth.
Fabulous.
Would you like to enjoy a pancake?
Sure. Sounds great. This place is fun.
I told you it's great. Look, see how he's dancing back there making the pancake?
Can I ask you something? I feel like you're the type of person that you could ask something to.
Sure.
Do you have $30?
Oh. See, I knew you were going to ask me for money this whole time.
How do you know?
I could just tell. I don't know. But here's $30 for whatever it is. Crack or drugs.
Oh, no.
You're doing drugs.
It's not for that, actually. It's for the parking garage. I parked
garage. It could drop dead any minute from that fentanyl stuff, you know.
I feel like you have me read wrong.
I don't know. I bet you got a pill bottle in your pocket right now.
Well, you know what? If the pills aren't going to get you, maybe the burnt toast will. You never really know.
I guess you're right.
By the way,
here's your $30.
Have a great day.
But wait, come back. The pancake is prepared for your face.
No, he's done. He's out of here. He knows.
I don't understand why you would just run away before eating a pancake.
Well, he's a drug addict. Salvador.
Who does that to someone?
A fentanyl addict. Well, you know, if it's not $30 for me and someone stereo out of their car, Salvador.
Well, it was a nice investment you made to prepare and protect someone's stereo system.
I'll take that pancake right here, though.
Why don't I go burn it and bring it back to your mouth?
Oh, you know me so well, Stalvy. Salvo?
Salvo. I guess the conclusion is, when you're open to it, you can't actually get a conversation going. I like the I like the you tell me guy. Hit me with a couple of questions.
Okay. Hey, how are things going with that new cottage you bought?
Well, you tell me. Paid $184.5 for it, right? Last year? Just had it appraised? $185. So put it this way. Going pretty good.
You tell me, guys.
Well, you tell me. Hit me with another
one. Hey, how's that new boat you got?
Well, let me put it this way. There wasn't a slip for me at the marina this summer. That's what they said anyways. And then when I bought this boat and I sailed it right up and I tied it to the dock, they found a slip pretty quick. Put it that way. Because it looks good on them to have a boat like that parked there. So you tell me. That guy.
Hey, ask me one.
Hey, you and Marcia have been together a few months now, right? How's it going?
You know, pretty settled down now. I don't really go out to the bar, so you tell me.
You tell me is the worst.
The I don't go out to the bars line, like, anymore?
Don't even need to.
Because, like, I got a girl, I don't do...
Don't even need to go to the bars. Man, I've saved so much money. Put it this way. I saved $300 in 2 weeks. So you tell me. Bar money.
Bar money. Hey, how'd you get that new car? How'd you get that?
Well, I inherited a bit of money from my great uncle. And they were asking, they wanted $18,000 for it. And I offered them $15,500 and said, take it or leave it. And they said, what about $16,000? And I said, no, how about $15,500? And they said, no deal. So you tell me. It's so stupid.
It doesn't matter because his uncle's paying for it anyway. Yeah. Not that guy. That guy who talks about having real problems, but at the end of the day, they're getting like a sieve of cash from some rich parent or uncle or something.
And he didn't get the car.
I knew a guy that was like crying about this. How I call this like stuff he had to do with his house. Like, man, I got to put in the plumbing and all this. And it was this huge like brownstone property in the city. Like downtown. And he's like, man, I gotta put in all this floor and fucking gotta do redo this tile in the bathroom. And he's like, but he got a free house from his uncle.
I like it when put it like this a way,
three,
doesn't make
$3
it
$3 million house.
Ask me how my house is.
But he's like, he's bitching to that to like a guy who's like broke ass. So what? How's your house, man?
Put it this way. I just spent $160 on lumber.
But he's got a $3 million house downtown Toronto.
Put it this way. He's like, my heating bill was $600.
Like, what? I can't go out every single night, that line? I can't go out every single night of the week either. I got, but he goes out like 5 nights a week and spends like $300 on the credit card that he doesn't even see the bill.
Put it this way. It's funny how put it this way and you tell me are related.
I used to go shopping with a guy like that who had like a trust fund. And he'd be like buying all these clothes. Come on, man, buy something always. I'm like, fucking, it's $1,000 at like that Fred Siegel's in LA or whatever.
Yeah. Who was it, Avery?
Just, no, not Avery. He's a hell no. No chance. No cash in that one.
He's not buying $1,000 fur trimmed coats at Fred Siegel?
Well, I'm not saying he's not going in there and throwing down, but he definitely wasn't getting any money from a family member.
So did the trust fund guy have an unrealistic idea of money and what it does?
A little bit, yeah. Well, definitely. For sure. Because it's like the type where it's like, yeah, I feel you, man, but it's like, no. Because worst case scenario, it's like, when you're just rolling around the world and living wherever you want, what's the bad part of like, because when you're growing up, financial problems are really rough. Like,
yeah.
And it's an awful thing to face continually. But when that's not even an issue, it really alleviates a lot of stress in your life. It's so, and without that feeling, you think you know, but you don't, you know? So that's what I mean. So it's like there's this air of, oh yeah, man, I know one, man. I used to eat syrup sandwiches, like, just because it was for kicks, not because, like, that's all they had, you know? And I'd be, like, saying I'd have syrup sandwiches because there was nothing else but just one loaf of bread left. So everyone's crushing syrup on sandwiches, and he'd be like, oh, yeah, I used to eat that all the time, but, like, he just did it because it was, like, there in the pantry for kicks.
Well, remember when squeegee kids were a thing, and then for a while, because grunge culture became pretty widely adopted, kids were dressing up in grunge squeegee wear and, like, squeegeeing cars for kicks.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. The big, like, weekend broke.
Yeah.
Just to see how it is.
Tried on, like, a big ill-fitting coat.
Yeah, I remember those were, like, when I think about high school and, like, how, you know, like, Ronnie and my mom, like, the way things were, like, and just the month-to-month feeling of, like, just any day now, it could be, like, we have to, can't live in this apartment anymore styles. It's interesting how at this point in my life, like, you think about those as the good old days, but it's like when you're a kid, you're like, this is awful. Well, how are we going to get out of this?
Were you aware of it?
Like, oh, hell yeah, because we're going from place to place every year and a half, couple years.
Yeah.
You know, renting a different place and going from a house in Mansfield at a young age to, you know, apartments in the city for high school age. But, like, the one place was in just a Weston in Toronto, and it was like a one bedroom with my mom and dad would sleep on the floor of the living room, and me, James, and Jet were all in the bedroom.
So you were aware. Classic. You were aware that your family didn't have much.
Yeah.
Because sometimes kids are just like, well, I don't know, it was just kind of what we knew. Like, I didn't know any different, so I didn't really know what I was missing. You knew that times were tough.
Well, yeah, you do when you're younger, and then you start putting two and two together when you're like, when you don't have stuff. Eventually, and you're like, wait a second, you see other kids and how it is for normal, like, I guess, middle class or whatever, the difference, I guess, then you start going, wait a second here, this isn't normal, this is definitely not normal. But then, you know, even when you're associating with other kids in the neighborhood or whatever, like, there was always that too, because of being city kids or the new kids or all that stuff, the same vibes of a different perspective.
What was the first extravagant thing you bought when you started making money?
A house for my parents.
Yeah.
That was the first thing. Yeah. And I lived in with them for a while.
That must have felt pretty good.
Then I bought my own place. Yeah, it was cool.
Were they psyched?
I was in Rexdale. And they were totally psyched, yeah, for sure.
Did you do the, like,
a nice place too?
You drove them over there and handed them the keys and, like, by the way, this is yours, Styles?
Well, no, it was more like, let's get you a house, Styles. Because at that point, they were living in a rental place. It just was like, got to get you guys something sweet here.
And was that the place they were in until just a couple years ago?
No, they sold the place and bought a place up north. That's where they were living in Baysville for a long time. And they sold that and then moved to Barry. In the
Man, that's a good day for a kid, the day you bought your parents a house. That must feel nice.
It felt great. And, you know, but I mean, I think because I lived there for a while and you get a vibe for it, it feels like you're there with them in a way. So it's not like I bought my parents a house. But I think it was like it's hard for me to be comfortable if people I love aren't comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a great example of that, where I just felt like I was like, you know, they'd had been through a lot, and it was just time for them to have some time to just live and enjoy life and go on some trips, and they did all that, you know, which is great. They'd go down to, they'd go in cars, go drive down to Gettysburg or drive all over, like, 7-8 hours to some cool old historic place and go into a little hotel and just party in there. Good times.
That's nice.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Should we take a break, bud?
Yeah, let's take a break and then we can tell the folks where we are here, where you are at least.
Yeah.
Not at my house, but
it's a cliffhanger.
Take a break.
Okay, bye.
Let me ask you this right quick, you know what I mean?
We're back, bud.
Where are you, bud? Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
I'm working on a TV program, and it is at the development stage, and so I'm in the writer's room for a couple weeks. To Denver this week for work. Have you spent much time in Denver?
I have. I like Denver.
I like Denver, too. I didn't really have any...
It's got some beautiful neighborhoods.
Yeah. And you can actually feel like the air is fresher and cleaner. Yeah. Rocky Mountain High, you know? Way up there. And in fact, the day after I pieced, they were calling for snow. But I know kind of central western Canada is getting hammered with snow right now, too.
Oh, man.
So get this.
It's time.
On the plane to
Denver. So what? No. What?
On the plane to Denver
airport, the big crazy Denver airport.
It is crazy. You told me that. Is it the biggest airport in America?
I think so, but it's like it's the size of the city of Boston. It's,
right,
it could fit inside the. But it's more the what's under it and all the stuff with that. Like I guess that's a huge, like military underground CIA spot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know, crazy stuff, anyway.
Speaking of plane friends, standing waiting to board my plane to Denver, and this guy goes, J-Rock? I was like, yeah, how's it going, man? So we were just kind of chatting as we were boarding the plane, making some small talk. And then when we were getting off the plane, you have to take a train to where the baggage carousel is. And he was like, you have a ride in town, man? And my default is every ounce of me was like, how do I get out of this? But what I said, which surprised me, was, no, not really. I was just going to take a cab. And he's like, oh, I got you, man. So this guy that I just met drove me into the city, and it took an hour because there was construction. But despite the fact that it was not my first instinct to do, he was super nice. We had a great conversation. Really enjoyed the hang. And it was a good lesson. Sometimes put yourself outside your comfort zone. Be open to experience.
You're like, this isn't anywhere where we're going. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
All side roads on you.
I was talking to Carol the next morning, and I was like, well, I considered the options. And the options were a friend's going to come get me, which is a lie. And then what if he's like, cool, I'll just wait with you real quick to make sure that the friend shows up. And then you're kind of boned. Or just flat, I'm going to take a taxi instead of go with you, which is hurtful. But it was great. So I was in Denver for a day, and now I'm back in L.A. We're working in the writer's room developing this show to be pitched. It's actually a Canadian show. But one of the showrunner is living here, so the room is here, and it's been a good experience. It's been fun.
Can you give the bods some perspective of how what it's like in an LA writer's room? Do you get in there? It's like, okay, baby, what do you got, baby? Do they go around? How many people are in the room? Like, how's it working?
There are probably a total of 8 people in the room, and I think maybe for people that don't work in this industry, and I haven't been in many rooms. I work on Letterkenny, as you know. They don't have a writer's room for that. It's just Jared kind of doling out feedback, and here's what I was thinking, and could you include Katie in your episode, or we won't have this actor available. Like, there are factors that go into writing a TV show that you might not really consider. Time of year being one of them.
Back and forth, though, with him. Yeah.
Yeah, like this next Letterkenny block is like outdoors in the winter, so you have to kind of be conscious of where you might have people being. You wouldn't want them outside the whole time, you know? So there is a writer's assistant who types every single word that people say and organizes the notes and sends them out at the end of every day. But I think people might underestimate how much careful consideration goes into story. Even though it's a comedy show, people want to know what your characters want. Because if you clearly define what a character in a TV show wants, then part of the fun is putting obstacles between them and their goal. Or they get 1 foot closer and take 2 steps back from their goal. Or circumstances beyond their control kind of get in the way. The other thing that is really interesting to think about is what the inter-character relationships are. So everybody probably knows you would write a character description. This is Marcy. She's 24. She just graduated from law school. She's not really sure what she wants to do for a living. But it's really interesting to start to play with, okay, what's Marcy and David's relationship like? What is Marcy and Connie's relationship like? What's Connie and David's relationship like? And that's when the cool kind of stories start to emerge. And once you have all the information about who your characters are and what they do, then you can play around with when and how you parse out that information. So you might have a great idea of where Marcy's character or relationship with David is going at the end of the season, and then you just kind of reverse engineer when do these little pieces of information get rolled out. So it's it's the math of story, and it's to some probably the least fun part, and it's probably the thing that I have the least experience in. I'm more of a character development and jokes guy, but it's been really cool. The guy that is the showrunner has worked on SNL, Kids in the Hall, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, King of the Hill, Parks and Rec. Like, his resume is pretty
crazy.
Yeah. And so you know, when
they'll write the character and the storyline and what's happening before any jokes get put in there.
Yeah, it's probably it's probably not unlike music. Like, you lay down the beat and then you add the guitar parts. Like, you kind of have to have the foundation of the house before you worry about the doors and windows. But from like the story has to make sense, and Mike Smith always called them logic gaps. You know, you can't have big exposed things in a story. They're like, well, wait a sec, why didn't she just go out the back door if the front door was locked? Right? You have to kind of make sure that the math of the story checks out, and then make sure that the story makes sense, and then try to find some sneaky feels too. Like, it's a comedy show and it should be funny, but it has to make sense, and it should also, if you know what your character wants and you're rooting for them, then as they have their little victories and setbacks, then you want your audience to feel that too. So it's an interesting experience. Cool. And you know, room dynamics are I suppose ever changing, and probably every room's different, but this one is very friendly and respectful, and lots of laughter, and everybody can offer up, and everyone's helping, and yeah, it's been fun. It's kind of a different set of muscles. Like I'm a passenger on this bus. I'm not driving, but that's pretty fun too, because I can just concentrate.
Especially if you're working with you're learning.
That's yeah, the best. Yeah, I am, and I didn't have a talk with myself, but before I went into it, I was thinking I really want to be open to different methods and different approaches and really take away some learnings. And so I have been, and that's been really fun. So tomorrow I'm flying to Toronto from LA to meet Henry and the girls, because they're coming down for a bit. And can't wait to see them.
Yeah, because you're down there for a little while, right?
Yeah, because I have a corporate gig at the end of this writer's room gig that also happens to be in LA. So I'm here for a bit. Yeah, it's interesting being back here.
It's just starting to get chilly. It's actually beautiful right now with the fall sun.
See, that's the thing. It's my favorite season, and it's my favorite month back home. So it's high 20s here, and it's nice to be here, but I'm missing it. I love the colors and the light.
Yeah. You couldn't have actually picked a better time to miss it, because, like, that's it. 3 weeks, it's going to be snowing.
Yeah, I know. but having my people here will certainly make it feel better.
Yeah, that's all you need.
And it's interesting. I don't know if you felt this way when you lived here, but I don't know if I cared more when I lived here, or trying to make inroads was kind of, you know, preoccupied a lot of my time, and waiting to hear back from people, and you kind of felt like you were on pause a little bit. But to be here and not really have a vested interest in the outcome, don't get me wrong, I care about the show, I want it to be good, but I don't need anything from the city. I don't wish I lived here. I'm not dreaming of...
No, but that's when it's the best. That's when it's best, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but every cliche you've ever heard about the traffic is sure true.
Right? That's it. Every single time you say, like, guys with the like, $200,000 Benz with the...
Yeah, inching along.
With the crunch guy...
Yeah. And the Californians, I mean, it's so true. People want to tell you what highway they took to get here, how long it took. It was surprisingly short. It took a really long time. Whatever. The thing that has changed here is, first of all, downtown is bumping. And second of all, those, I forget what they're called, but the scooters, the app scooters. You know, like
they're people everywhere. Just
leave those them on the sidewalk things, like garbage. Yeah. Are they in Toronto
everywhere.
Yet?
I don't think so. Not like L.A.
Yeah, so you see people in Toronto bombing down Fountain in traffic on
They might be a bit, but they're out of control in L.A.
Yeah. And
you see them all over the place.
The cliche.
And then you see the guys, the rogue drivers, or they don't... You're like, no, you can't drive on the sidewalk. And then you see the guy's like, I don't care what you say, I'm driving this thing. Right? Yeah. So they just picked it up and they're growing.
I went to a coffee shop yesterday, and I was like, the guy said, hey, how are you? And I said, good, can I have a coffee? And he's like, oh, sorry, man. You go stand over by that sign. And there's a little sign on a post that says stand here. So I go stand by the sign, and then the guy behind the counter is like, can I help you? I'm like, okay, this is dumb. So ordering a coffee, there were so many questions. Okay, I'll be the – you just say you be me ordering a coffee, and I'll be the guy. Hey, I can help you over here.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Can I get a coffee?
Sure. What kind of tastes do you like?
Just coffee taste?
Like, do you have a sweet tooth? Because we have, like, there's a caramel butter coffee?
No,
or it could
just
be,
coffee's good.
So more of a hint of, like, hickory?
I don't even know what that means, but coffee's fine.
Okay. Milk or sugar?
One milk and two sugars.
Okay. For sugar, do you like brown sugar, raw sugar, organic sugar, or liquid sugar?
Regular sugar.
Okay. So organic?
Sure.
And for cream, do you want light cream, medium cream, heavy cream?
Medium cream.
Okay. And for cream, do you want non-fat cream? A little.
Come on, really?
I'm not even kidding. Yeah, there were the ordering of the coffee was a 5-minute thing.
That's California style.
Yeah, and I was answering the questions just like you were. Someone. And then finally, the guy's like
you see.
He's pouring it from the thermos or carafe or whatever it is into the cup, but his right arm is way over his head, and he's pouring it expertly into the cup, waiting on the counter below. And then he pours it from the cup back into the carafe, and then one last time pours it back into the cup. And then he invites me to try it to make sure it's okay.
No, come on!
And he's like, have a try. See if you can taste the kind of sweetness.
Not a place you can go like 5 minutes just going to grab a coffee.
Yeah.
Like, no, 15 minutes.
But here's the thing.
He's like doing the drinking it and then like moving your cheeks out and in. Whoa, 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 to
and there's a spit bucket. I'd like to tell you two things about this cup of coffee. One, it was $6.75. And two, it was delicious.
Was it great?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Was it like the best coffee ever?
Yeah, it might be the best coffee I've ever had in my life.
Oh man, that's awesome. It was worth it.
It took 17 minutes to order. Honestly,
you didn't even know there was that much.
From walking through the door to leaving with the coffee was not exaggerating, probably minutes. 12 minutes.
It's like a ride at Universal Studios.
Yeah, and the thing, like the place, the coffee Potter. Shop is empty. So dumb.
The best part is you gotta stand over there first.
Yeah. I'm sorry, can you stand over there by the sign? The sign says stand here. Like, okay. But all those things you only have to learn for the first time once. And then, so I went back and I had it dialed.
You're all set.
But we went to a vegan Mexican restaurant today. And I don't know. It's like
vegan,
organic vegan Mexican something. So
like Woke Greg's favorite?
Yeah. It should have been called Woke Greg's. You should open a coffee shop called Woke Greg's.
Yeah, because you can hear the conversations. This is Woke Greg saying goodbye, everybody. But don't forget, don't use napkins. Don't use straws. Walk. Don't run. And I don't know. Let's just try and keep it together, everybody.
Cocktail, please.
Hey, Tony, check this out.
What?
I'm just gonna Instagram.
Ted.
Yeah.
Ted, you Instagramming?
Yeah, I'm just gonna Instagram a picture real quick of my new kicks. Would that be cool?
I guess. Well, sure.
Well, what do you mean you guess? Like they're not like special edition or anything, but they're brand new and they're pretty clean. So I thought I'd just like Instagram them and just say like new kicks.
Cool.
Can
we get going?
Hang on a sec. You know what I'm going to say?
What?
Added these to the collection. Because that way it's like, he has a bunch of them.
Okay.
Or...
Are you done?
No, or... What if I don't say... I'm so bad at this.
You're not adding Foot Locker on the thing, too, are you?
What?
Come on.
You don't think I should?
Whatever, man.
What if I'm just like, at Foot Locker, and then like, hashtag new kicks, hashtag add to the collection, hashtag...
Okay.
Don't have enough feet for all the shoes I have. Like, just something that says, I have a lot of shoes.
Yeah, I know. Can we get going though?
Or you know what I should do? You know that? Do you know that Adidas track jacket? I have the blue one. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take a picture of the kicks on that jacket and say like.
But you have like 3 pictures of you in that jacket last week, though.
But what if already? I say like got the kicks to match, or like just like okay. Hey, new kicks. No, the jacket's not new though.
Oh. Yeah, so maybe get a new jacket.
Oh, that's actually not bad because then we could go to the mall and I could like do an Instagram story on like trying to find the perfect kicks.
Oh man, really? Can I not go to that?
Well, what else are you doing?
Can you just go do? Well, nothing. What if you? Sure, I don't want to watch you stare at your phone in the mall.
Why don't you then help me come up with help me come up with a good Instagram because it's hard, dude.
Why? We're just trying to live here, man. It's summer. Let's just hang out. It's over. Summer's over.
What if I
this take, is it?
Okay.
It's last nice weekend, and you want to take pictures?
What if I take a picture?
Thanksgiving even.
I'll take a picture of my knee, where my jeans are ripped, and I'll just do like hashtag. Out for a rip? No, that's ripping.
Oh,
ripping
man.
Around.
Come on, man. And listen, what you have Leaf tickets? Great. Now you got to take pictures of those too.
Well, what if I take? Okay, here's what I do. Take a picture of my new kicks on my jacket, and the Leaf tickets are sitting on the jacket, and I'll be like. I can't say blue jacket because that sounds like Columbus. But what if I say like team Leafs?
Yeah, and how about you? Got to make sure you got to get the new iPhone in there too, right?
Oh, right. So can I use? I'm going to use your phone to take a picture of my phone with the Leafs tickets on the jacket with the new kicks, and I'm going to say like new. Leafs phone home game? No.
Okay.
But if here's the thing though, this is the only thing of it is if I use your phone then I have to log into my Instagram on your phone. And do you even have Instagram?
Yeah, I have Instagram.
Okay. So can
here. Look.
Okay, so then what do I just if you take the picture do I regram your picture of my stuff? But then that's weird. Like why are you taking a picture of my stuff?
Well, yeah, why are you taking why are you taking pictures from my Instagram?
Okay, here's what we do.
That's a picture of me in Glasgow last year, and you're taking it.
Here's what we do. You take a picture of me in my Adidas jacket holding my Leafs tickets with my new phone, like I'm on the phone, and you took a picture of me while I was on the phone wearing the new kicks. And then I'll write a comment on your picture and I'll say paparazzi much. That way we get to see all of the stuff that I bought, but it makes more sense that it would be on your account, you know what I mean?
Okay. That sounds good. How about there's people out there that do that. That's too true, right?
I think it's really true.
Graham in the life, but like the fake posturing of like here's a product and I'm gonna just make it up that I'm like rolling.
It's the tail wagging the dog though.
You know what my favorite is the like no stress here, like the picture where it's like pristine no stress when it's like you can sense that's all there is stress.
I like the
because there's like they're up on vacation but like every 2 seconds is an Instagram of them doing something. It's like there's probably like 4 or 5 where their kids are like, come on man, can we play?
How about the
you really need to do another one?
How about the picture in KO Coco and the caption, take me back here, please? So
what's that?
You're doing a victory lap like on your vacation pictures from 8 months ago? I remember this day. Or my favorite when people say and go, like Indian restaurants in Sacramento and go.
Yeah.
And it would be faster to Google it, but you want people to know you're in Sacramento and you like Indian food.
And you're like, you're sure. There's like ab, you do like the, you like put filters on the pictures and like make abs on your abs and stuff.
Like who's going to stop what they're doing and say, oh my gosh, Sherry wants Indian restaurant look recommendations in Sacramento. Let me look that up real quick.
Hey, look at, check out Terry's abs.
And
wait
go.
A second, they look drawn in. Drawn in abs from Instagram pics.
Is that a filter?
I think so. Oh, I think you can. There's so many things now that like it's just you might as well like be a Vanity Fair cover.
Like you can put abs on your dog.
Photoshop. Yeah, for sure.
Hey Tiger, before we wrap things up, because I have an early bird. Let's talk about our bud Josh for a minute.
Oh yes.
Man, can't imagine what he's tangling with. He had
Josh
part of his leg removed as a result of a medical emergency. And so with our bud Sylvia, we started a GoFundMe, and thanks for chipping in, buds. Really uncertain time for him, but we raised some dough for him, and it was a nice way of us to let him know that we were thinking of him at a time when I'm sure he feels helpless, and we sure do too.
Man,
sure. Can't imagine how that feeling of uncertainty must be, but he seems to have a pretty good outlook and a good attitude about it.
Yeah, and then especially when you're doing something that you love and you can't do it anymore, and there's probably an element of hopelessness, but I think he's realizing that that's not the case, and you can get around these things, and there are obstacles that are possible to get through, and it seems like he's you know in a better place than he was a few days ago, so
yeah,
that's great. But we're thinking of Josh, and we love you, and we love all the people that have kind of reached out to say, hey, you know, give me a shout if you need. Like Ricky has been so cool online, Ricky Fryett.
And yeah.
All the other buds that have like said, hey, you know, if you need to chat, just give me a shout. That's huge. And the community of love that we've created here, that's kind of coming back at us in this regard, that's why we're doing this. I mean, just to feel a community, and to feel that there's people out there, and that if they are in a situation where they need to reach out, that they can do so. It's not just going to go empty. So,
and I always
I'm
always reminded that the worst moment is the moment of impact, and when you're tangling with all that stuff, and it seems so crazy and hard to navigate. But you know, humans are resilient, and you can find a way to get behind anything, and I'm sure it'll be hard and certainly different for a while, but this too shall pass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, bud.
Yeah. Yep. Talk to you next week, bud.
Am I allowed to say go Oilers? I'm not going to jinx it by saying that we're unbeaten, but we're unbeaten.
Well, you know what? You better say it, because it's not going to last, and you know how it is. Like, if I were you, I'd take it while you can and just get a parade going while you're at it.
You know, it's tempting. It just feels pretty good, okay? That's all I'm saying. It just feels pretty good.
It is good. Enjoy it. I hope they have a great run this year.
Thanks, Jeremy. I hope the Leafs do, too.
Yeah, me too.
Good job, bud.
Hey, bud.